This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
Welcome to the Wednesday Week, aka the North Stand Top Boys.
So tonight, ladies and gents, after a brief hiatus for a week, it took us that long to come down from the ceiling after such a high-scoring affair that was the local derby. But anyway, we're back again, and we're going to take a look at the Wednesday week that was. So on the line with me today, I've got the elusive Scarlet Pimperdicky. Are you there, brother?
I'm here, my man. I'm here. I am elusive. You keep doing it on Thursday nights, and Thursday nights is date night. Nothing comes in between me and date night. Not even Wednesday.
I don't want to know what dates you go on with you and your jar of hand cream. That's entirely up to you.
Well, you know, it's I've got plentiful supplies of hand cream, no squeaky bum cream.
Okay, so joining him on the line tonight, we've got Weatherspoon Pitcher, Curtain Twitcher, and Racist Snitcher, Miss Victoria Wood. There she is tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Did you like that?
Oh my God, you've actually like proper written that, haven't you?
Yeah, I wrote about 10 minutes kind. Ago. I wrote it while you were.
That's really kind, thank you. Oh, thanks. Yeah, I had a wee early tonight as well. Like, I remembered, I let the dog out, I went out. No, I didn't go out. No, yes, I also pissed in the garden. Evening.
Evening, you all right?
Yeah.
Right then. So after his foray back after a long hiatus, that's the second time I managed to get this in this introduction. After a longish hiatus, we brought him back, but it sounded like we'd left him in the shed, which I'm pretty sure we ended one show where we put both barrels through the back of his head. It was a sketch that we did. It was weird back then. But Steve, can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
I'm coming through loud and clear. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. We can hear you.
Is that better? Is it better than last week?
It's kind of better. I can hear you straining, but I think that might be another little room that you're in.
Yeah, it is. It's this DDT, which I'm just about to remove. The Derby Day thong is coming off. Oh, that's better. The DDT has been removed.
Oh, a city on the move. The DDT has been removed.
It takes a while.
I'm not even gonna tell you it got weird. They know already. Do you know what I mean?
You have changed so much. I can't get a handle on this. This has gone weird. Oh, it's all gone weird.
Right, shut up. We've got loads to get through. So, because we had a week off last week, we've got Derby Day. We've got Bolton and we've got Frank Lampard's derby. It gets confusing after a while, so stay with us, boys and girls. So right then, we're gonna go to each of you for each game. You've got 5 minutes each. If you want to chime in at the end, keep questions till the end. So Steve, I'm gonna come to you first on this one. You're gonna get the big one, the 0-0 win once again, third time on the bounce, Monday night football. What did you reckon to it, brother?
Right. The first thing is, you look on Twitter, you look on Facebook, and everybody's moaning about it being a rubbish game of football. If we're going to a derby game to watch a great game of football, then we're not going to football for the right reason. I don't care whether you're there just to watch, I don't know, whether you want to get in amongst it or get into muck and bullets of it all, or whether you want to watch beautiful flowing football, a Derby Day match is different. Well, that is different. Right from the start, the week before, we said it when we were on here the week before, everybody's getting nervous, everybody's getting touchy. When you go to that game, if you can't enjoy it in your own perverse little way, then there's something wrong with you. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Most of it were watched through my fingertips. I admit that. I was cringing. And then when ball were down there, and when they had ball in our box, I wanted ref to blow up whistle. When it were down other end, I couldn't get enough of it. It was just wonderful. I thought it were a cracking game. I loved every moment of it. That chance that Medine had, that Westwood saved, I loved that. I loved that chance that Hutch had when he showed keeper. I loved that. Even Wilder loved it. So it must have been good. I know it was the result that we all wanted, but that's Derby Day for you. That's Derby Day. I love that game. And I'm sorry if people didn't enjoy it for whatever reason. Like I say, I think they're going for the wrong reason.
Oh, come on, though, Steve. Like, there's always an element, though, isn't there, of these like ruining your season and stuff like that. And I don't like Derby Days. I don't like them. But I'll tell you what, Vic. I'll come to you on this one. Talk to me about.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, love. So Forestieri went off, and then the mercurial Georgie Boyd came on. Now, was there an injury? What was that all about?
There was apparently an injury, wasn't there? Didn't he like pull his leg or something? I don't know, his nose. Something. He plays for Sheffield Wednesday. He's bound to have got injured at some point during that match. I think we built it up a lot, didn't we? The Forestieri playing in his first derby situation, and he's just not on it at the moment, is he? And we've said that for a few weeks now. I don't think, Steve Bruce still hasn't got the best out of him yet. Don't get me wrong, I think Steve Bruce will get the best out of him. I really, really do. I believe in that 100%. But I just think at the moment, he's still not on the boil. And he has had some really shitty injuries to contend with. As we know from talking to certain people who work in medicine around or used to around the football club, he's had a really tough time. I would have taken him off. George Boyd, I mean, I'd have brought me on, to be honest. I've got similar hair. I can run probably just as fast at 30 and very overweight. It wasn't the best. I wouldn't say it wasn't the best decision. It wasn't the best swap, but I don't think he had any other options.
Well, I get that, but I mean, Dick, I mean, come on, back me up here.
I disagree. I thought Forestieri played all right in that first half. I thought
he was all right, but he was injured.
Definitely. That's not my point. But I just thought that we played quite high up the pitch, so we stopped them playing. We didn't park the bus like we did, whenever it was last year back at the lane. We actually played that high up that our quick passing and closing down actually stopped them playing. And I thought the second half, obviously had the 20, 25 minutes. And I think we missed Forestieri at second half because I think he did a lot of running around, but you can't negate for injury, can you? So it is what it is. But I mean, as a game, I'm always nervous about the derby, but I actually enjoyed that one. For the first time in a long time, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I agree.
I enjoyed the banter with Henderson, and he took it really well. That was going off up there, he was giving some back and whatever. So I thought that was great, and I'm not so sure Paddy Kenny would have handled it so well. He'd probably just.
I agree, though, Rich. I think Forestieri did all right. I really do, but I think we built it up, and it's nothing to blame on him at all. It's us as fans. Like, we've built him up. We're all waiting for this Steve McLean moment all over again, aren't we? We're all thinking back to 2005 and Steve, and we all think, Forestieri's never played in a derby. He's going to come on and score 10. No, he ain't. No, he didn't, because they were all ready to mark him. And like you said, you know, we played all right around him and he did okay, but he did get injured and he had to go off. And, well, I mean, my mum was in the stand, right? She's 63 nearly, so I would have probably rather brought her on than George Boyd, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I agree. Come on, Steve. Steve, back me up. Tell him how well George Boyd played. Come on.
Well, we have a theory, me and Holly. Whenever we pass a cone, a traffic cone, we always tip our hat and say, George, because we always think that if we used a traffic cone instead of Boyd, it would be better. It would give us more options. Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah. And whenever Charlie, my grandson, sees a cone that's laid down, laid up floor, he always says, Boyd's injured again. So, That's how we view Boyd. I cannot get it out of my head. I didn't like him when he was at Peterborough. I know we're going back some, and that's not changed. It's not changed at all. But I'm with Rich.
He had a couple of all right games for us, to be fair. Like, we have had a couple of weeks that we've not slated him.
It's
but
a
that ain't 40 grand a week, is it?
Exactly. We've got to expect more than a couple of games out of him. How long has he been here? 18 months. We've got to be better than a couple of games out of him. I agree with Rich, it was an enjoyable game. And I look at it like this. 3 months ago, we wouldn't have been able to compete with them like that. And I thought we competed really well with them. Like Rich said, we stopped them playing, but we didn't park bus. We were trying to play football. You could argue they stopped us, if you like, as well. So, but I enjoyed that game. I thought, you know what, we've come a long way in a very short time here. And it was so, so pleasing to see that. I loved it. I absolutely loved it because it gives me hope for future.
All right.
Can
so
I just point out, Fudge, before you move on too quickly, I think Beastie's glossed over it a bit here, but there was some absolute classic shit housing from Sam Hutchinson, wasn't there? And that is just classic Sam Hutchinson. So he's going towards the ball and the centre-half's coming towards him and he shouts, keepers.
Yeah.
Centre-half fell for it. Absolutely bloody brilliant. I love Sam Hutchinson and I love him even more now. What an absolute twat. And I just love him. That's brilliant.
If he'd have scored in that situation, can you imagine them two defenders talking to each other? Well, you said leave it. You said keeper. It would have been absolutely the best thing ever, wouldn't it? It really would.
I'd heard it was fake news from Wilder. There was no keeper shout.
But that makes it a shithousery, doesn't it?
I know. It doesn't sound as good, does it? But
I choose to believe he did say it.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest. If we're facing us and where we sit, we'd have heard him, and I didn't hear him say it. So. But I'm going to
ruin it. Right, move on. Who are these? They've not been on all season, Fudge. Come on, just ignore him.
Oh, and anything just to hit Wilder with a big stick for me. That's all I'm interested in.
I'll tell you what, Rich. Actually, I'll come to you on this one, Rich. I'm gonna put you under the cosh a little bit. But I like that's three now nil-nil draws. And as Steve says, and you yourself agreed that the derby. That's the best one we've played out of the recent three. You know, we took it to them, they took it to us. Now, is the derby an unwelcome distraction? Bear in mind how close the league is. I think I tweeted today that anybody from something like 16th has got their eye on Bristol City's playoff place as it stands right now, as the league stands at this moment in time. Now, did we really need a derby? Because derbies for me have got boring. Do you know what I mean? Would you prefer not to have them?
Do you know what? And I'm going to get shot down here. It's just another game, isn't it? It's just one of the games or two of the games we play in the season.
No.
I am completely blinking about Wednesday. It's just another game that I want to get 3 points in.
Isn't that what Carlos or Josh Lucas said?
It'd be old age. I'm not bothered about anybody. I'm really not. United, whoever.
Nobody's
just as long as
bothered about playing Rotherham. Bloody hell!
No, but I'm just classing them all in the same kind of vein. I'm not that bothered anymore who it is. I got to watch Wednesday. Simple.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Are you right, guy in disguise? No.
Oh, come on. I'm going to moustache.
Well, he hardly had one, did he? I look at it like, right, and I think this something to take from this. If we don't get into the top six, which I still think that we will, right, you get rid of the Blade, you get rid of the Dirty Dirty Lead, get rid of Rotherham through trapdoor, and Dingle stay down. What a season that gives us then. What a great crack at it next year that gives us without four awful distractions. Right now, I love playing these games. I really do like going to them, especially having a son-in-law who's a Dingle. You know, it adds a bit of extra spice to it. You know, living amongst loads of Leeds fans, it adds all that. But you get rid of all of them, and that gives us a great crack at going up next year.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Right, so Vic, let's move on. Game two. I think now Sky Sports, after last season, after saying the phrase Ryan Sessegnon's only 17 years old, once he turned 18, they're not interested anymore. So what they went with was Frank Lampard's Derby County. I'm pretty sure that's now the new name of the club. And I'm sure if he's still there next season, they will add it to the crest. So away day for you, wasn't it?
It was indeed. Yeah, it's my second of the season. I am so hardcore. But to be fair, my first was Ipswich. That is a pretty wank first away game. So Derby's pretty standard. So I was there. I was on the train at, God, about 10 o'clock in the morning from Chesterfield. Straight into Derby. Had to wait around for about an hour for the lads to get in from Sheffield. Lads. And then it was just a brilliant day out. We just had such a good time. We ended up in some really shitty old man pub and then went to the match, and obviously, you know, yeah, all right, conceded pretty early on. But we played okay. We played all right. I don't think at any point we ever thought we were going to lose it. Obviously, was it Reach that missed? Oh, no, it was Boyd, wasn't it? Missed from about 6 yards. Reach had a chance. Fletcher had a few chances. And then, obviously, Iorfa equalised. And it was a good point. It was a great point on the road. I was absolutely buzzing with it. It was a really good away game. The crowd were in great voice. There wasn't, what I could see, there wasn't any trouble. It was just, I like Derby away. I do. I think Derby away is like Frank Lampard's Derby away is just one of those games that, you know, they're close enough for it to be easy to get to. We're always going to take a big crowd with us, and they are here. But it's not, there's no real animosity. Obviously, they're pushing for the playoffs, and apparently so are we. But there's no sort of aggro there. There's no sort of nastiness. It was quite a nice atmosphere before and after the game. I managed to see our beautiful James in the beer garden. I was inside the pub and I spotted him outside, and I managed to get like four Derby fans to tap each other on the shoulder in some sort of synchronized dance to get his attention, at which he just waved and I waved back, and it was really awkward then. It's like I've done all this effort. I was just having a little wave over the beer garden. But it was a brilliant, brilliant day. Absolutely loved it. Shout out to the Cop End lads who I went with, and just, yeah. But also, Dan Fudge, do you have any sort of romantic music right now?
I don't, but I'll just sort of do some. There you are, just some wishy-washy, like, wind noises. Like,
I was stood next to the love of my life, right? And I don't mean Jono's dad. There was this bloke, right? If you were the bloke stood next to me in the away end, in the green coat with the blue eyes, I love you. I love you. Not the guy who replaced him at half-time, because you're not, no, not you. But him. If you're out there, hit us up, TWWcast. We'll get married. We'll get married tomorrow. That would be lovely.
Lovely. Well, all right then. Well, if you are green coat, blue eyes, I've just realised that I wear a green coat, but we'll move on from there. You know, it weren't me.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it reminded me of you.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Tall, dark and normal. So, right, Steve. Now, Frank Lampard's Derby County have not been in the best of form. Was that 2 points lost, given the form that we've been in?
Well, whenever I've been to Derby away, I've never had that feeling that Vic's been on about there, where you didn't think that we could lose. I've always thought we're going to lose. That said, I always love going to Derby. It is one of my favourite away days. It is always a big following from us, Derby away, because they give us plenty of tickets. In the navigation pub, everybody's having fun, both sets of fans. But I always think we're going to get walloped. I think I can only remember seeing us win there once. And I think that were Dion Burton that scored winner after the ball, giving him a load of pillock about being rubbish. In this instance, I've got to think it's a point gain. Even though I think he's made the right noises, hasn't he, Frank Lampard? He said on both games we were the best team. You know, when we played him at our place, he said that, and I think he said something similar this time. So I've got to see it personally as a point gained, just from my own experience of going to Derby. But overall, it's probably going to end up being 2 lost, isn't it? And if we lose by 2, there's a lot of places where we can see that if we miss out on the playoffs by 2 points, there's a lot of games that we can look at besides that one where we think we should have picked them points up. So yeah. I don't think we should be ourselves for that game.
I think we'll start, if we start ruining any points, I think it'll be the ones early on in Bruce's tenure. I think there was Millwall and Reading, I think, that we drew against. But yeah, you're right. We don't seem to have any happy away days at Derby. I particularly remember one where we got absolutely spanked 3-0, and Pride Park wasn't quite new, and it's hailstoned. And then somebody on the Intercity aisle went, "Just shirts today, lads. We're not wearing jackets today." And I remember sat there in that god-awful orange tango kit that we had with the black and white collar, which is now retro and I really want one again. But I remember sat there, hailstone, losing 3-0. I think it was Rory De Lapp's debut. It was that long ago. I hate Pride Park because of that. And the corner, the it's like St. Mary's, isn't it? But with no corner. I can't abide it. But anyway, we've moved on from that. But Rich, there was a familiar face turned up, one we've not seen in a while, like yourself and Beastie turning up at this podcast. Well, I say a familiar face, yeah. You can only see half of it. Mr. The Ginger Ninja himself had turned up. What do you reckon?
The Ginger, who's in the Ginger Ninja?
Sammy Winnall.
Right, Sammy,
is he Ginger?
Blonde.
He's not.
No, he's
Ginger.
Strawberry blonde, the same
one with
as I am
face
Auburn.
Missing.
When you say ginger, you're like, I'm thinking something, you know, like what? Carrot tops out of the 4 months ago, or you know, something like that.
It's not melon ginger.
Judge Fudge rules. Ginger.
He's ginger. Okay. All right. Well, it was good to have him back. I'll be honest, he did more than that useless big lump we started with last night. But there we Ooh. Go. That's against Bolton. That new. Don't start me, I knew you. Don't start me.
Well, you've got Bolton to talk about, so you know the floor's yours. Let's talk about Sammy Winnall first.
Sammy, yeah. In general, we're talking. Are we talking about last night, or
specifically against Frank Lampard's Derby County?
Frank Lampard. I think it'd have been great for him to get that goal, wouldn't it? I mean, from the angle you saw, did he get a Carson's hand? Did he not? I'm not sure. I can't really tell. Like, it's not. There wasn't a conclusive angle, was there?
But, no, it was on the floor. It should have been a goal.
Really?
However, it did look dubious. So yeah,
it is what it is now, and it didn't get you know given. So I think Bruce is doing the right thing with him, and that's bringing him off the bench and just getting him right. I think he's definitely got something to offer us. Because we haven't got many strikers around at the minute, have we? So I think just to get you know bring him back steadily and fair play to him for not going out on loan when he had the chance, you know, in January.
But it's a different isn't he? It's a different striker to all the others that we've got.
God, yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And
we need somebody like him.
I think you've always it's no point having two strikers that are exactly the same, is it? Because it just doesn't work. But it is good to have. I'm not sure what Nui works at all. If I'm honest, but certainly, I think he could work. He could Does he work with Fletcher? I don't know. We've not really seen it, have we, enough to work out whether it will work or not.
I mean, somewhere in the Hillsborough Manor, Lord Hillsborough's head's just exploded, slagging off Ati Niu. But you know, it's coming to the end of his contract extension, I believe. Normally this time of year, we're getting a right tune out of him, but that seems to have gone missing. But okay, so last game, let's move on. Rich, the floor is yours. We're now going to talk about Beltane.
Well, I went there, I think, last season in the cup, and we were, well, lost 3-0 or something like that. 3-2 it was in the end, that was it. We were 3-0 down, and we were awful, and we never play well at Bolton. I've not seen us play well yet when I've either been or caught it, you know, on any kind of highlights or whatever. But I thought last night, first half, we were pretty shabby and needed a kick up the arse, and I think they probably got that at half-time. I think they came out a different side, and the two goals are just the passing, I thought, was particularly the first one was fantastic, and the second one wasn't an easy finish. So yeah, I was really happy with that. I'm just happy how we're playing at the minute. It's good to watch, and that's all you can ask for at times is watching a Wednesday side that's good to watch, not just lumping it or whatever. And Hector again. Immense. We've still got to sign him, but I'm not sure it's going to happen because of FFP. But no, I was happy. 2-0, I'll take that. And I'm not sure what all the results are as yet, but we're obviously pushing towards that, you know, the playoffs. And I think people are standing up and taking notice that you know, we've got the same kind of players, but there's one man making a real big difference to us and to all those players, and that's Mr. Bruce.
Yeah, definitely. Well, as it stands right now, as you mentioned, Rotherham are beating QPR, Preston are beating Middlesbrough, West Brom are smashing Swansea. They don't seem to be turned up. But that, you know, that's only, there's about 10-15 minutes left. So, you know, by the time you're listening to this, it could have all gone south. But Liverpool's beating Bayern Munich, so that's nice for them, isn't it? Because we all love the Scousers. So, I also just want to do a big shout out to Sammy Winall and his tribute. Now, listeners of a certain age, we'll remember WWF, as it was called in old money. Brutus the Barber Beefcake smashed his cheekbone. And I'm pretty sure, yeah, he was the one that started the face mask trend, wasn't he, Steve?
Oh, no, I'm not sure. I'm not sure he was the first. He did have that, but I'm not sure he was the first. No.
I think he got mashed up that badly. He just went to interviewing people, didn't he?
Excuse me, I remember I saw Jim Duggan getting pelted and ended up in hospital and having to have two kidneys removed. Right? So don't tell me about massacres in the WWF.
So, right. So, anyway, we've moved on to the wrong sport there, aren't we? So, right then. So, Vic, I'm going to come to you now. Now, after a recent visit to the hairdressers, some people, me, have described him as a daddy long legs dancing across a urinal on a hot summer's day, Lucas Young.
It's looking pretty bad, isn't it? Well, according to Dom Howson today, it looks like he might be out to the end of the season, which is terrible. You know, he's been brilliant for us. I think it puts more pressure on Fletcher to stay fit. Obviously, Fletcher is a lot older. And I think we need to concentrate now. Obviously, you know, Winnell's back, Hooper's training. So it might not be too bad. It is a shame because he is a class player on his day. He can also be an awful player on certain days, let's be honest. I would hope that it's not, and maybe it's the end of the season, but not the playoffs. No, that's silly. That is a silly thing to think. We shouldn't be thinking these things. But who knows? I think for me, I would, as it stands at the moment, if Hooper is coming back, you know, we've got Fletcher, we've got Forestieri, we've got Newcue if needed. You know, there's plenty of people who can play in that position. Fuck it, stick Iorfa up there. You know, it's not that much of a pressure that it was before. You know, we've had these situations with Carlos before in his time where we've forced players back and we shouldn't have done. The lad's really young. We bought him for what was it, like 2.5 million euros? he's worth a lot more than that now, I'd imagine. There's no point in risking rushing him back. We're pretty much safe mathematically, I think. Is it? Are we safe as of tonight? I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, there's no stress on it now. Anything else is a bonus now, I think. After the year we've had, it's been absolutely bloody awful. And like we've said before, we've lost a year of Sheffield Wednesday with old Tashi in charge. So now we've just got to look forward, build upwards, and not rush anybody back that doesn't need to be rushed back. The worst thing that could happen is obviously you're rushing back and you fuck him up for another year, or you're rushing back and we go up and we're not good enough. So, you know, we're okay. It's okay as it is. Like, there's, you know, let him recover. Let's sort him out. Also, we've got to think, you know, there might be a point in future that we need to sell him. And why would we risk injuring him any further? Let's get him fit. Let's keep him in the background, keep him like under wraps and look after him. And let's see him back next season. I'm quite happy with that.
Was that just you wanting to wrap players in more wrap?
Oh, not with his yellow hair. No, he looks like everybody's talking about Jamie. Absolutely not, no.
He looks like the real Slim Shady, doesn't he? Steve, now, Lucas Joao is a, I don't know, contentious seems to be the wrong word, because I think there's not one person doesn't think he's a good player, but how long do we give him? I asked you this question about Sammy Winall, didn't I, about the other week. Are we going to turn on him a little bit? Because, like, for example, people always talk about players like Jesse Lingard being a young guy, and that's why the way he is. Personally, I can't abide him. But let's not forget, he's a grown-ass man. He's like 27 now. But with Lucas Joao, are we still waiting for him to become the finished article, or is this the player he is now?
When I look at Joao, he looks, it's not just that he looks a young, incomplete player. He looks like a naive young man as a human being. I'm not talking as a footballer. He looks like a youth. He looks so inexperienced with life, if you like. And you're just waiting for him to grow up and show us what he's capable of. And I suppose, like every other person growing up, you make mistakes. And he makes them by the bucketful, doesn't he? The problem that we've got is that the Wednesday fans turn on a mistake like nobody's business. He might be one of them players that needs longer than normal. People say that to you all the time. Well, he's 23 or he's 24, and Rooney were playing at top level when he was 17 and all this. We're not comparing our players with international players and the best players in the world. We're comparing them with what we see week in, week out. And a young player at our standard is always going to be infuriating, and you're going to get more bad games than you do good. Because if the other way around, we aren't going to keep them. It's as simple as that. We won't keep them if they are consistently brilliant.
But Steve I like he's 25 years old, though, isn't he? I mean, come on, how long do we give him?
Dan, I know what I like at 25. not as a footballer, but as a young man. God, you do all sorts of daft things, and it's the same on the pitch. I know what you're saying. I don't know how long we give him. I'll be honest, I don't know. You talk to Wednesday fans and they'll all say the same as you. Chuck me, he's 25 years old, he needs to grow up. If he's not good enough now at 25, he never will be. Ship him on. That's fine. I'd be on board with that, but I still think we haven't seen the best of him, and I think he's one of them players that if we shift him on, pound to a pinch of shit, he is going to be player of the season for somebody. Absolute. Don't go certain.
A pound to what?
Pound to a pinch of shit.
It's I say that all the time, mate. Yeah.
There you go.
Thanks, man. Thanks. All right, so let's move on then. So, Lucas Joao. Steve's going to give another minute. Me, I'm starting to get mugged on with it now. It's been 3 years since he went anywhere near the Portugal squad. But But so we've had some news. I mean, it's been very short of news, Dickie, but we've had a brief bit of news. Now, obviously, you know, you follow the team home and away. How much of a pain in the ass is this? Because I know it frustrates James because he's a very organised individual and he books his train tickets well in advance and the rest of it. But, you know, tell me about the Norwich game, Rich.
Well, obviously, Sky and their infinite wisdom have decided that they want to televise it. And they don't seem to really give two fucks to the Sky who the inconvenience, like the Chelsea game, you know, was travelling back at 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday night. But yeah, Norwich has been moved to 7:45 on a Good Friday. What a brilliant move from Sky. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? We need this, the money from Sky, but then again, I mean, you've only got to look at, you know, a lot of the games I've watched recently. I think the Forest Derby game where they're actually muting the fans because literally they were singing stuff about Sky, and I think that's getting a bit of a regular now. They're muting fans who sing, you know, sing mutely on the terraces. So yeah, it's not good for everybody. It's a bank holiday weekend. So, you know, worst case scenario. But if you've already booked stuff, you know, it's a whole change for you. Absolute change. Like James, he's booked up way up front. If you're going on a coach or in the car, it's a little bit easier. But, you know, it messes things up. I mean, what are we? For 4 weeks to go to it or whatever? It's not great from Sky.
I'll tell you what, though, but come on. It's Good Friday. You've got all day on the beer. You know what I mean?
We're get Larry in Norwich and just stay there. Stay there Friday night.
Look at the industrialisation of the city centre.
that was lovely stuff. I tell you what, actually, while I'm here, I've not mentioned that the Rivers. This show is brought to you by the Riverside Cafe. It's on Catch Bar Lane and it's now open on match days. Don't forget to get yourself involved in their outside bar. So, right then, so like I said, there's not been much, apart from the games itself, there's not been much to talk about. We've got move fixtures, we've got three games themselves, we've got Iorfa scoring, but I do want to take a brief moment just between all of you to talk about the new gaffer, because I have absolutely fallen in love with him. Now, Jos Luki, I was sceptical from the start, I was iffy for 10 games in, and then, you know, after about 2 months, I couldn't abide looking at him. So I'll tell you what, Steve, I'll come to you first. Are you as assured as what the general consensus? I've not seen Twitter so positive about a manager in a long time. What do you reckon?
I love him. Absolutely love him. I've got posters of him all over the bedroom wall. Shipped down last time into the spare bedroom. He's my bed partner now. Everything about that bloke is quality. And I keep thinking back to when he was manager of other teams and thinking, what did I say about him then? Did I hate him? Did I dislike him? What did he get on my nerves? And he probably said all the same stuff that he's saying now. But now it matters because it's about our club. And every single word that he speaks on camera is solid gold. That stuff about putting his arm around a player and stuff like that, you know, that's
fantastic. That's brilliant, that alone, isn't it? Just to be able to do that to people, and sometimes people just need an arm around them and say you're doing really well, and then look at Liam Palmer now.
Yeah, I think it's a sign of a bloke who's we all know he's had a lot to contend with in his personal life recently, and I think that's had an effect on him. And I don't know what he was like before all the family issues. Maybe he was like this before. But you see Gary Megson for a start, who definitely wouldn't put an arm around a player, would he? You know, he'd have kicked him in plums as soon as look at him. But this guy is the opposite. He's like your dad or your mum and dad combined. And he looks after our players, but he's not like a parent. He is not afraid to give them a bollocking when they need it. And I'm sure, like you mentioned, Rich, at half-time at Bolton, he will have given them a right round of fuck and got them back on track. So we're getting the best of both worlds, really. We're getting a bloke who's got a really fantastic human side. Don't get carried away unless he needs it. And he is bringing the best out of what we've got at the moment. And, you know, I could watch videos of him, listen to him talking all day long with little hearts in my eyes. It's wonderful. I love it.
So you're just like a living emoji. Like, well, what about you, Vic? I mean, is he like some like weird uncle? Or I mean, did you just want to go up and give him a cuddle or just send him around a cup of tea or what? Like,
I do. I just think he's so lovely. He just comes across as a really genuine, lovely bloke. And I've said this to a few people who aren't Wednesday fans, who I've spoken to. So obviously, James and I were on Radio Sheffield recently, and we were talking to the guy from the Blades pod.
Were you? Yeah, you didn't
mention
it.
We don't like to mention it.
I didn't see anything about it.
So much, because you live in Southampton. Don't be hating, be mating. Right? So, so like, we were talking about him then, and we were saying, like, he is the last of a dying breed of football managers. Like, we have been very fortunate to be brought up, if you like, in a football age of managers, such as, obviously, your Brian Clough, your Ferguson's, your Sam Allardyce, your Steve Bruce, your Mick McCarthy's. You know, there are those managers that are just, and obviously, shout out to Colin, old Neil Warnock. There are those managers that are just, they embody the game, and they are old school gentlemen who run the game. And Steve Bruce is one of the last of that breed, if you like. You know, Ian Holloway is still floating about somewhere, who knows where. But they're the people that, you know, for me, growing up as a football fan, they're the managers. Like, they are like hardcore man managers who are genuine, who are disciplinarians, but not too hard. They're family men. You know, Steve Bruce has proven that in abundance since before he started here and since. And I just think he's just one of those last characters of the game, of the old game. You know, the modern game now, obviously, you've got your Frank Lampard's coming through, you've got your Steven Gerrard's coming through. You know, they're the flash footballers that have come through and become managers. But Steve Bruce is one of the last ones of the, yeah, he played at the big time, but he wasn't on the front page of the Daily Mail every day or whatever. And I just think he's just such a great guy, and I think he's such a good man for this club. And, you know, he's one of those managers that I would have killed to have as a Wednesday manager at some point. The same as we all would have done with, you know, with Clough, with, you know, with not McCarthy, but with Holloway, with a few others. And I just think he just embodies old school football. And I think at the moment, this squad, when you look at what happened with, you know, under Carlos with the Forestieri situation that, you know, we don't talk about anymore, but with the Winnall getting shipped off to Derby situation, with situations where you're not playing Hutch, you're not playing Westwood, you know, Steve Bruce has come back in and gone, fuck that, this is about football. Like, I'll tell him what to do and I'll be the boss and that's it. And I just love that about him. And I just think he comes across so gentle in his interviews that you also know at the same time you would not mess with him. Because we all know our best bosses have been that person. If we've worked in an office or in a factory or whatever, the best boss we've ever had has been somebody who respects you, who will listen to you, but will also give you a good hiding if you need one. And that is exactly what he is. And I think that's the kind of boss that I thrive under, you know, and I think that's the kind of boss that most people will thrive under. And I just think he's brilliant. I think he's the best person for the job. Absolutely.
Well, he's just recently taken on some more support staff. Names escaped me. I had them wrote down, but I've played my phone a bit too much while we're doing this. So, in the interim, oh, by the way, this will be fun for you. If any of you guys felt that Vic was filling there, I'm glad she did, because the cat that peed has just peed all over my bag. So, so during while you were talking, there's now cat piss all over my living room. So that's nice, isn't it?
Is it a bag or a sack?
It's a sack magique from Tots TV. Right then, so I'll tell you what, Steve, you mentioned it,
before you move on, there was a striker, I think he was at Villa, who went sick, and he went to his house, didn't he? It was the guy who was the striker at Leeds who got all them penalties. What's his name?
Was it McCormack?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Ross McCormack.
McCormack, yeah. Yeah, and he went sick, and Steve McLean went to his house and climbed over his
electric gate. Steve McLean went to his house? Bloody hell, he'd have broken two legs.
All the way from Scotland.
Josh! I don't know why I had that in my mind.
Fucking hell, he'd have broken both legs, both arms, and his neck.
I don't know why. And still don't know why I had him in my mind. Well, that's all that matters, isn't it? Climbed over his gate to make sure he was still actually sick. And that's a great guy. But I just want to say this about the bloke, and I don't want to bring it down, but it will ultimately. That the stick that he got off of Rude Holly on that Chelsea game about not being there, and if it were Man United, he wouldn't have done this. He would have turned up on day one. And Alex took to Twitter, didn't he? And he, Alex Bruce said, after the year he's had, he deserves this time out. Steve Bruce must have lost his parents around about the same time as I lost my mum. And he's the same age as me, Steve Bruce. And I know what effect that has on you as a person when you move up the family tree. It has a massive effect. And I know exactly why he wanted that time off. And anybody that doubts that, anybody that questions that, needs to have a look at themselves, because that is ultimately what will give us a better manager. Him taking that break, taking time to himself and time to reassess everything that's gone on in his life and look to future. I promise you 100% we will benefit from that. And 100%. Just before we moved on from that, I need...
No, I completely agree with you there, Beastie.
I'm a bit emotionally wrung out.
I think I've spoken before, and obviously I did another interview recently, which will be coming out. But I've spoken before about, you know, like you think that your parents aren't vulnerable. And I thought that, and I'm sure Rich, you know my dad well, and we all think that people are invincible, yep, don't we? And that's just how we live. And finding out that my dad wasn't invincible was the worst day of my life. And to even begin to imagine losing one but not both parents in a year is just horrendous, just absolutely horrendous. And I just have so much respect for him for coming back, not so quickly, but just so valiantly as well. He's just come back. He's been such a gentleman about the whole situation. And fair play to Mr. Chansiri for accepting that and for going, yeah, all right, fine, come whenever you think you're ready. That's the commitment you've made, 100% you do it. And I cannot imagine losing anybody like that. But one parent, two parents, like, however, it's just awful. And yeah, 100% respect for him.
I think there was only two dickheads in the entire country that dared question it on national television. And what a pair of pricks who I've got no respect for whatsoever anymore. I haven't got the words, but the every single Wednesday fan was behind what he did. Yeah, come a month later, it doesn't matter. You take some time, you get over what the shit you've had last year, because at the end of the day, this is just a job. It's just a job.
Exactly that.
Exactly that, folks. Very well said. So, right, let's move on. So, Rich, big week for somebody who's in our squad that has been part of the rotation. I call it the rotation. You know, the players that we ate. That, you know, there's a different one goes to the top of that list every time. And one of our players has managed to break into an international squad. I mean, tell us about it.
You're talking about Mr. Palmer and his Scotland call-up. He's been a fair play to him. I remember a couple of seasons ago, watching him from the North Stand, hardly daring to touch the ball, because every time he touched it, he got absolutely berated to death, rounded on. And I've never been his biggest fan, but at the minute, I cannot knock him. Right back, left back. He's just proving us wrong in bucket loads, and is that any coincidence that Steve Bruce is putting an arm around people and not just one person in particular? He's got big arms, obviously. He's putting his arm around everybody, and they're getting the best out of those players. Who Liam Palmer, for me, if you're at the beginning of the season, you would say he's an average player who probably would be better, a really good League One player. And a bottom of the kind of table championship player, but he's proven his worth to us at the minute. I can't fault him. You know, he's really, really proven us wrong and deserves that call up to the Scottish squad.
I was going to say, do you think that comes back to the old school sort of dad-esque manager style of Steve Bruce? In that, you know, Liam Palmer, yeah, all right, he's what, 29, maybe 28, but he's kind of, he came through the academy. You've seen God knows how many managers, Liam Palmer, because he's been here forever. Do you think that Steve Bruce has made a difference in that respect, in that he's told him, yeah, you're doing all right, son, like you'll be okay? And I'd imagine that, I just remember Palmer from the years that I used to go up and watch the academy, like when I was about 17. So he took like 14 years ago, and Palmer was there, and you know, his dad was there, his family was there all the time, and he had a really good relationship with Sean McCauley, who was the manager then. And I think, you know, then he kind of got thrust into the first team and thrust into the spotlight. But did he ever have that sort of that dad-esque manager anymore? Obviously, we've kept Bully around for the last few years, and he's obviously done a good job with people like that. But I feel like someone like Bruce would make the difference with somebody like Palmer, and could make Palmer into not a world beater, but into somebody who looks like a decent championship fullback.
Yeah, I agree with that. Somebody like him, you'll see the results of the manager. You know, you can say what does the manager do, but is he there at every training session? Is his input there all the time? You can see with a player like Liam Palmer what the manager as a person actually brings to that player. And he's one of them. As you said there, he's obviously had a word with him, whether he's put an arm around him or he's just had a nice gentle chat with him and giving him a confidence booster. Whatever it is, it's worked. And Liam is one of them lads that loves being at this club. He absolutely loves this club. It's been his life, hasn't it? And he's quite an upbeat, happy person. Or he is whenever I've seen him, whenever I've spoken to him. And I've been to a few of them dudes at ground, and I've had a piss at the side of him, and all other players have come
Did
in and they're chatting away. And look at this. He looks. Come on, look. What you do? The only problem I have, I'll let you in on a secret here, the only problem I have is that when anybody looks at me, it stops me pissing. And I can't start until everybody's gone. happens every time. When I were in my last job before I retired, they used to do that to me on purpose. I'd go for a piss and then they'd all come in and look at me. Because they know that once they stand there, I can't piss. 20 minutes later, I'm still, they've all buggered off.
But Steve, yeah. I'll tell you what the answer to that is. It's to actually not face them when they stood, you know, turn around and point it at the toilet, and then that way you're not making eye contact with them. It's because you're pissing all over the floor, brother. You know what I mean? They shouldn't be able to see your face.
No.
If they can see your face, you're doing it wrong.
Damn, mate. This one in the fire service. You can't avoid eye contact. They will make sure you have eye contact. They used to the bully. The bullets, yeah, all right. Yeah. But the point I was making was that he is, all the other players, at that time, right through now, I'm sure it's the same. They liked him as a lad to have in the team. You know what I mean? He's one of those players that they like to be around and he likes to be around them. It brings something to the team. As has been pointed out by Vic Henrich, it might not be the greatest footballer, but we don't need him to be the greatest footballer. We need him to do a job for us. And at the moment, he is doing that, and he is doing it really, really well. Part of that's down to him. Part of it's down to the manager. And long may that continue.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, you know, good, decent footballer, lovely lad, face like a bag of spanners. But let's move on. Anyway, so we're running short of time now. I know. He looks like he needs an iron. You know what I mean? He looks like he just needs to get an iron and just go, how old are you, son? Bloody hellfire. You've had a paper round, haven't you? Where did you work? Chernobyl.
He's worked under Jos Luhukay for a year. We don't look like that.
Yeah, to be fair.
That's great. What he's getting.
Anyway, I'm being rude. Sorry, Liam. My apologies. But anyway, right. So, quick rumour. I'm not going to spend... I'm just going to say it. So, Gary Hooper may be returning back. You know, I've got my hopes up about this before. I'm just going to move on from it. It might happen. It might not. So, you know, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But we're going to preview the Blackburn game. So, as you mentioned earlier, Vic, I live in Southampton. And a mate of mine, I've got pissed in the pub last week, and a mate of mine is a Blackburn fan. And he's only ever seen him away because he's born and bred in Weston-super-Mare. Some weird story about the kid, the bloke that brought him up. It's not weird at all. The bloke that brought him up was a Blackburn fan. He used to, and one of his fondest memories was sit watching Blackburn, watching Match of the Day, and he became a Blackburn fan. But because he lives so far away, his mum never got to take him. So I've got pissed in the pub dinner, and I've gone, I'll take you, mate. But you know what I mean? Of course, I love football, me. I'll take you. So last night, I drove from Southampton, past Bolton, where Sheffield Wednesday were playing, right up to Blackburn, watched them in a local derby against Wigan, and then drove back again. So I've done a recce, lads. I've been up, I've done a recce on Blackburn, and they smashed them 3-0. And it turns out the only thing I can really take away from it is that Wigan are absolutely bloody dreadful. They are honestly, they're one of the worst teams I've ever seen play football. Now, in terms of Blackburn themselves, they've got standout players like Bradley Dack, who is a luxury player that if Sammy Hutchinson plays, he's just going to kick all day. You've got Danny Graham, who Tom Lees is going to kick all day. And then they've got Harrison Reed on loan from Southampton, who's going to kick us all day. So I can't see past the draw. I'll come to you first, Steve. What do you reckon?
You know what I'm going to say. You absolutely know what I'm going to say. We will win this game. We will win this game comfortably by at least 3 goals. There's no way on earth, given everything that's going on at this club with the manager, the good vibe, the fans are back on side, and it's taken a while for the fans to start to find the voice and start to find a little bit of belief and get a bit of a party atmosphere going. They will be behind the team. If we can score early, especially, then it'll be like blue touch paper and a stand well back, because it could be a really, really fabulous day. I don't see any other result other than us winning. However, if we don't win, forget about the top 6.
No, absolutely. I mean, yeah.
It's absolutely vital that we just continue this this run, and all the teams in front of us are all those teams around us. So you could say really, it's pretty much in our hand after Saturday.
Well, as it stands right now, the games that we're playing as we're recording this have all finished. Vic, we're now in 11th place. Blackburn coming up. What do you reckon? What do you think? Do you reckon we can make a push for it? How do you think we'll get on against Blackburn? That's 2 questions in one.
I think that's 2 big questions. I agree with Beastie. I can't see anything less than a win on Saturday. I think that the crowd will be there. I don't think there's any offers on tickets or whatever, but I think that the crowd will turn up, because I think we've got to the stage now that even the people that were questioning whether or not they could afford to go on a Saturday afternoon or whether it was worth the money can probably say, yeah, all right, we'll probably beat Blackburn. So I think the crowd will be behind them and we may well see 3 points. As opposed to the playoffs, come on, I'm having a laugh. If it happens, it happens, and I will be absolutely buzzing. My mum will be fuming because she's booked holiday to Spain because we were so shite under Jos. But yeah, if it happens, it happens. As far as I'm concerned now, we are in a much better position than we were 2-3 months ago, in that we are now probably safe. And, you know, I don't want to say we're definitely safe because it's Sheffield Wednesday, but we're probably safe. And we can go into games now just almost practicing for next season. But yeah, I can see a win on Saturday. I'm quite looking forward to it. It's been, I wouldn't say it's been a while since I've looked forward to a game at Hillsborough, because, you know, I do even when we're awful. But I can see this Saturday being a good match. Well, not a good match, a good win. We'll see. I don't know.
All right, Rich. Wait, so there you are.
Get on board.
Come on, Rich. Yeah, we're trusting you to give us the positive. Take us on.
I'm just looking at the fixtures now between now and the end of the season. There's 9 games to go. And the only 2 games I can see in that, I'm confident I'm feeling that I think we're going to not struggle, but probably not get the results we want, is Leeds and Norwich.
Definitely.
Apart from that, I ain't worried about anybody. I'm not worried about anybody in that. I think we'll beat Blackburn. I'm not worried about Stoke, Villa, Forest. Yeah, then there's Leeds and Norwich, Bristol City, Preston, QPR. There's only 2 games out of that 9 that I think we might not get the 3 points or some kind of points.
If
you look at the form table at the minute, going back to Blackburn, they're 19th in that. They've won 1 in the last 6. We've got quite a few draws in ours, but we're 7th in it. But you know, it's I'm super confident at the minute.
Well, there you are,
and enjoying going.
Well, that's a big turn up, isn't it? But there you are. We are 10 games now unbeaten, which I can't remember a run like that since I think 1997. But yeah. So anyway, listen. I genuinely believe that we've got a chance against Blackburn. They weren't anything special. Wigan were absolutely atrocious. And God, they do good pies though. We'll recommend 9 out of 10. We'll pie again. Okay then. So let's wrap this up. Steve, are you still on Twitter? Are you still on the Twitterings?
I am, but not so much. Can I just say before you move on, we are now, somebody just messaged me, we are 6 points off Borough. Never mind just behind everybody else, we're 6 points off Borough. But they may collapse yet.
Ooh, in fact, they've lost to Preston 2-1 tonight at home, haven't they?
Yeah. Coming up Millhouse.
Cracking Simpsons reference. So, Steve, if they want to see some of your misspelt nonsense, where do we find it?
Well, you have to call around to our house because I don't do much on Facebook Wednesday stuff and I don't do much on Twitter these days. So if you want to call around at our house, that's fine by me. And I'll put Cal on and we can talk about Wednesday.
I literally thought you were just about to tell everybody where you live. What about you, Vic?
Me too. You can find me on Twitter, Victoria1867. Or obviously, I sometimes take over our Wednesday week account because nobody else looks after it, at TWWcast.
I tell you what, I used to get told off, though, by Lord Hillsborough for coming up with a gag and then retweeting it myself. So I've not logged into the TWWcast. So if somebody's retweeting my gags, it's not me this time. Stop telling me off. But
not me.
Dick, what about yourself?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Dickie L, but I don't spend much time on there these days. It's, as you know, it's a busman's holiday for me. So you're better off coming and meeting me in the Riverside Cafe and having a chat there and having a beer with me. That you'll... You might not get any sense out of me, but you get more of a conversation out of me.
Yeah, I like the good shout out for the sponsors there because I forgot to do it at the top of the show. Also, we've got at Sausage Arms. That's Eddie. He's managed to take a moment out of having dinner with the father-in-law tonight. So big shout out to him. And in order to record this show, and we've also got James Marriott. He's what is he? Is he 3/5 of the Sheffield Wednesday podcast out there? So I'm pretty sure he's going to run into him at some point.
Every Sheffield Wednesday podcast out there. He even appears on that America one. The only one they won't let him on is the Owl Sanctuary.
What a podcast host.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they have him on Football 11 as well. But listen, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure tonight. And let's hope that going forward, we'll keep this marauding run onto the playoffs, and let's see if we can all be there down in London. I'll see you down there at the end of May. See you later.
Keep up to date with the Wednesday Week on Twitter
at TWWcast or on our website, thewednesdayweek.co.uk.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.